It's our pleasure to be joined by Chris Ash again. He makes his return to overtime. We talked to him back during basketball season from Bud Walton Arena.
Yeah.
And Coach, it's a little bit better environment around here today with a golf course and a lot of coaches around, and you're able to look them in the eye face to face and get to know them a little better.
You know what? This is a great day for us to come out, be around these high school coaches. It's a beautiful golf course, a great day, and these guys are enjoying themselves, and be able to come out here and shake their hands and get to meet them is outstanding. I will tell you this, though, a guy I do want to meet, that Freaky Joe you just talked about.
Yes, you do want to meet Freaky Joe. I will say that. He is the ace producer of this show and Drive Time Sports, and he is one that you do need to meet sometime. I will guarantee you that. And talking with you two off the radio, I think you two would fit in good. And I talked about Charlie Partridge as well, who is also here, but will join us a little bit later. But you guys, you said, aren't very good at golf, but you do know one thing, that you're better than Coach Partridge, or he's better than you.
Yeah, I'm not a very smart guy, but I've seen him play golf, and I am better than him. But there's a reason that we don't have golf clubs down here, because neither one of us are very good. And we're going to do a lot more good out here just shaking hands and enjoying ourselves and a little fellowship with the high school coaches than we would be out here hitting golf balls. We're going to save some windows.
Coach, so Matt, real quick, the defensive guys are here, but the offensive guys are out there playing. You got Lunny Jr., Coach Thomas, and Cheney out there playing.
Yeah, they're missing one guy, Sam Pittman. They would have an offensive staff meeting out in the golf course. But, you know, we would much rather be in the office watching film, getting ready for Louisiana Monroe, or Lafayette, excuse me. We were talking about Monroe. But playing Louisiana Lafayette for next season. But, you know what, you got to do this. These guys are great. These guys are going to be an important part of our success here, of building the program the right way, and we wanted to come out and spend time with them.
Yeah, Coach, I was going to ask you, I think it's either 13 or 14 out there, the long par 5. How'd y'all do on that hole? I think
They're not playing.
Yeah, we sat at the end of the hole and watched guys hit it. You know, we don't have clubs with us. We're driving in an empty cart.
There we go. That's the only way to go right there. I like it.
They just wanted to come out and they wouldn't even make fun of the coaches out there playing. I tried to get them to make fun of the coaches in the break that are out there playing. They said, no, we're not going to do that. We don't have our clubs down here for a reason. And there are some nice homes on this golf course that are very close to some of these holes that could be damaged by some golfers out here. So we don't need that. Chris, let's go back to when you all got to Arkansas after the Rose Bowl. Where are the players from when you saw them then to when you see them now? Talk about the change that has happened in these players.
Well, to start, I think Coach Ben Herbert is one of the best strength coaches in the country, and it's not just the strength part of it and conditioning, but it's the nutritional part of it that I think he really excels at. And he's really educated our players that, hey, you can go in the weight room and you can do this, you can do that, and he can put together a great plan. But if you don't eat right, that none of that's going to matter. And he's done a great job educating our players. He takes them shopping to try to show them the types of food that they need to buy and eat. And the change that they have made, they're a lot leaner right now. They're stronger. But the biggest change is they're lean. You know, their body fat has dropped tremendously. And that's the thing that we've noticed a lot. I mean, we were just talking about our two defensive tackles. I mean, they're 330 and 315 now, but they don't look any different than they did when they were 290, because it's good weight.
And that's a great point, Coach. And we had Camden's head football coach on, Trey.
Buck James
earlier. And he was talking about, you know, they get a three-week break before camp. And so if there's any high school coaches or high school kids listening right now, what's your advice to kids when they do have a three-week break off? You know, what's something you would say to stay active? And then also he talked about their nutrition might not be as good, and a lot of times you don't learn that until you get to college. So what would you tell them as far as what to eat and what to drink also?
Well, the unfortunate thing for a lot of high school players is we are able to provide our players with food. You know, they're going to get guaranteed food. They're going to get guaranteed supplements. They're going to get guaranteed education on the nutrition. Unfortunately for high school kids, that may not be the case. So, you know, when you talk about nutrition at the high school level, it's a little bit different, because the guys may not have the means to eat the way they need to. Not only the amount, but the quality of food that they get is probably not what we're going to be giving these guys. But you would talk about a three-week break. You know, if you want to excel and reach your potential and be the best you can be, there really is no break. you know, when we give our guys a break, we send them home with a workout. It's a voluntary workout. But if they want to really reach their potential, they're going to have to do things on their own when we're not with them. And it's no different for the high school kids. They get a three-week break. They cannot just take 3 weeks off. They got to go out and do some individual drills and work on their techniques and fundamentals that they've been taught at their high school by their coaches. And when they come back and they get with their coaches, they're better off and they're a better situation. And our guys are no different than that.
And you know those players that have taken a break when
absolutely.
You give them that week off.
Yeah, you can tell. When they get back in the weight room and they get back out there on the field running around, you can tell who worked to put in the extra time versus those guys that didn't.
Yeah, and what I was going to say is, Coach, always in the offseason, the team would give us, and I like the quarterback metabolics better than the receiver, of course, but, you know, the D-back stuff and defensive stuff that you'll have that would be difference, but it would be like four sets of 10, and you're kind of working on your position drills, but you're like sprinting, you know, you're striding 40, 60 yards at a time, and you're doing it under, you know, 3 minutes with a one-minute break, but just little stuff like that, as long as you're putting in 45 minutes minimum, that really pays, you know, that really helps out when you come back from that three-week break.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's not necessarily about the amount of time, it's the quality of that time, and as long as you're doing something at a high level, you know, it'll make a difference in the long run. And, you know, our players, one of the things that we're really trying to educate our players on is the amount of overtime that they need to put in to be successful, whether it be on the field, on their own, because in the summer we can't be around them, and the strength coach can only do so much. So they're doing a lot of things on their own with one-on-ones, whether it be O-line, D-line, wide receiver, DBs, doing individual basically practice work like you would for normal practice. And the amount of and again, it's not the amount of time, but the quality of that time that they put in for that overtime makes a difference when we get back in the fall.
You've had one defensive player make an all-SEC preseason team in Chris Smith. Talk about what you see in him.
Well, I think he's going to have an outstanding season. I really do. I mean, you talk about a guy that's changed his body since he's been with Coach Herbert. I mean, that's one guy that really stands out. I mean, he's 270 pounds. He looks lean. He can run. He's really bought into what Coach Partridge has been teaching him from a fundamental standpoint on the defensive line. We've changed a lot of things up there. And I thought he had an outstanding spring. I think he has a chance to be one of the better players in the league. And it's hard, you know, I got to be cautious when I say that because I don't know the league as well as I would have, you know, not
sure.
being in the league. But I think he's a great player.
And Randy Shannon, what has he done with the linebacking core?
Well, Randy's done a great job of getting those guys to buy into the fundamentals of the position. And we have changed a lot of things defensively and trying to implement a system that's built on effort and the fundamentals. And he's done a great job of teaching those guys the fundamentals. And we were just watching cut-ups from the spring yesterday morning and afternoon. And, you know, the difference that we saw in the defensive players, and most notably the linebackers, because linebackers have more than any other position on their plate. They've got to be able to line right. They've got to communicate. They've got to read, run, pass, and either got to fit right or pass drop right and pattern match things. They've got a lot on their plate. And the improvement that we saw from the cut-ups from the first week to the last week was drastic. It really was. It was really, you know, it was kind of fun to watch. And I've told people this a lot, don't mistake our improvement for being any good yet, because we're not, but we are headed in the right direction, and Randy's done a great job with those linebackers that are really, honestly, they're inexperienced.
And Coach, as far as the high school All-Star game, I don't know if you have any you know, players that will be playing in this game that will be up on the hill this year, and if a player that you're recruiting or recruiting after they sign, you know, do they ask you, you know, what do you think, what's your thoughts and opinions on the kids playing in a game like this?
You know, we had the same situation at Wisconsin, really the same situation in a lot of places I've been, and we strongly encourage players to go play in an All-Star game. We want them on our campus here this summer. With the NCAA rules, we can have them on our campus. They're in class, they're in 6 hours of class, they're with our strength coach, the other players. But if they get an opportunity to play in an All-Star game, it's really a reward for all the hard work that they put in. And the other thing, when you go play in those All-Star games, you're wearing the Arkansas logo. I mean, you're making us proud because you're part of that All-Star game, and you go out and you play a great game, it's a feather in our cap.
When you look at junior camps and in the summer, how Coach Bielema has broken it up for you guys. You just finished a full week of camps here. Talk about, I know no specifics, but some of the talent that you were able to see come to the hill there in Fable.
Well, to start, camps, I think, are an important part of your program's success, because it's an opportunity to get not only rising seniors but rising juniors or sophomores on your campus. It gives you a chance to evaluate them. There's no better evaluation than the in-person evaluation of putting them through your drills, your agility stuff, you know, whatever it may be, and watching them move, change direction. And, you know, for us, we're going to put them in tackling drills and see what kind of toughness and aggressiveness that they have. And I thought the product the talent that we had on campus here this last week was really good. You know, you always want it better, but at certain positions, I thought it was really good, and it was very productive. And, you know, as we go forward, moving forward, we will increase the numbers both for quantity and quality, and I think it'll be a great deal for us to help us out.
Chris Ash, defensive coordinator of the Arkansas Razorbacks, joins us here on Overtime. Coach, besides winning those first four games, as a defense, what do you hope to get accomplished before you go into that SEC stretch where you start with Texas A&M at home?
Well, before we even get to those four games and training camp, we have certain training camp objectives that we want to try to hit. And the thing that we need to do is we need to build on the spring. We need to build on that foundation that we laid in the spring and what Coach Herbert does with them this summer. We just got to, one, develop our guys to become better football players. As long as each individual gets better, the group will get better. And that's educating them mentally with the different situations with football, and two, improving their individual fundamentals that it requires to play each position. But, you know, we haven't identified a lot of goals for the season yet. The number one thing that we keep stressing these guys is the daily improvement. As long as we improve daily as an individual, we will improve as a group. And as long as we do that, that process will help us win more games than not. You know, our focus isn't right now on the SEC. We're worried about one team, and it's the opener, because if we don't start off good in that game, you know, we're going to have some issues. And we've got to start off and come out of the gate like a well-coached football team that's ready to start fast and put together a great season. That's where our focus lies right now.
And, yeah, and, Coach, I know as you want your players competing all the time, and that's how you get better. And we always had, and I love going into the defensive room also to see some of their goals, because as offensive players, you have goals also. And, you know, if they're standards or goals, whatever they are, you know, big hits, tackles, and then you also have, you know, lack of effort, just stuff that you do to compete with amongst yourself. Do y'all have a board like that also that y'all will have set up where you're able to, you know, just individualize players as far as show them how they do well, and then also, you know, like the lack of effort also?
Yeah, you know, after every practice, we're going to have a big play chart and a bad play chart, and we go through and we grade every single rep as a defensive coaching staff, and we're going to mark down the big plays that are made, or we're going to mark down the negative plays that are made, whether it's a mental error, missed assignment, missed alignment, missed tackle, whatever it may be. But we're going to chart both of those, and at the end of the day, when we meet together as a defense, we're going to point those out, and we're going to make a highlight tape or a low light tape of those and go through and talk to the players about that, and we're going to point out the good things and the bad things and make sure that we improve in both areas. But, again, like I said, right now there's only one goal that matters to us, and that's that daily improvement. As long as we do that, then the W's will come. You know, as long as we stay the course and stay on that process, the W's will come. Eventually we will sit down and we'll talk about, you know, goals that we want specifically for the defense in terms of number of yards we want to give up or number of points we want to hold an opponent to. But as long as we play well enough to give ourselves a chance to win as a football team, that's what's important right now.
What's been the success back at Wisconsin in being in every game? Seems like that the Badgers were never blown out of a game.
Yeah, well, I think it starts defensively. You got to be sound with everything that you do, because if you're sound with everything that you do, you're going to make yourself hard to beat. And I think we made ourselves hard to beat because we were sound. You got to get players to play with great effort, which we did, and we will do the same thing here. If you can get them to line up, be sound, be hard to beat, and play with great effort, then you give yourself a starting chance. And from there, then you can build on everything else. You can become as simple or as complicated as you want, as long as you stay within those two things. Be simple, be sound, and play aggressively. And when I say aggressively, it's with your effort. When that ball snapped, if you play with, like, your hair's on fire, then you're going to have a chance to win games. And people mistake aggressiveness. You know, you got to blitz, you got to do all this stuff. And, you know, yes, you're going to have to do that at times, but it's the effort that we play with that makes us aggressive. And as long as we do those things, then we'll have a chance.
And Trey, what was the Notre Dame coach that won the Broyles Award this year? We interviewed him, and one thing, Coach, I love about football, it's a total team sport, and the reason he said the defense was so successful was because of the offense. Mm-hmm. And how do you get with your players and your side of the ball to not get down if the offense is not doing as well early on, or, you know, the offense might have two or three three and outs or a sudden change with some turnovers and not playing as well, you know, during the season, certain points of it? How do you keep your defense with that confidence to know that it is the total team sport?
Well, it all starts at the top with the head coach, and Coach Bielema does a great job of preaching it's a team game. There are going to be years that your offense is going to be good. There's going to be years that your defense is going to be good. But when you go out there to line up, the only thing that you can do is control the things that you can control. And is it, and we stress and preach that to our guys all the time. We can't control what the offense does. We can't control what special teams do. You can only control what we do on one snap at a time. And if we worry about what they're doing, then it's going to take away from what we're doing. And we've been on both sides of it at Wisconsin. We've been on some teams where the offense was outstanding. We had Russell Wilson at Wisconsin. And we're putting up, arcade type of numbers offensively. It was ridiculous, and it made us better on defense. This last year, it was kind of changed a little bit. We were a lot better on defense, and we helped the offense out. But, you know, on both sides of the ball, you know, if you get worried about or focus on what the other side's doing, it's only going to take away from what your responsibility is. And we preach all the time, hey, your focus is on what you can control, and the only thing you can control is how you go out and you line up, you read your key, and you react, and you play one snap at a time. And, you know, our goal is to put together 60 minutes of that.
Bob Diaco, Matt, was the Award winner last year, the defensive coordinator of Notre Dame.
I know Bobby's a really good coach, good guy, and has done a great job there. And, you know, he's right. You know, your success on defense can at times be directly correlated to the success that you have on offense. And at Wisconsin, the way we were able to run the ball made us a better defense. Mm-hmm. It kept us off the field at times. We can make more adjustments in a game that we're having issues. And, you know, that is a good statement.
And Coach, I was going to ask you, you said something about reading keys and how important that is as far as proper film study. And I might ask you this a few months ago. But as far as film study, and what do you ask, and you said linebackers, you know, kind of have a lot on their plate, but the one thing you always want as a coach, you want your players reacting and playing fast, but you want them doing the proper technique. How do you go about that as far as film study and making sure your players know what they're doing so when they're out there, they're able to fly around and make plays?
Well, for us, our philosophy is a little bit different than some other guys. You know, there's two types of coaches or two types of philosophy. One, you know, there's a philosophy where you want to be an executor. You know, regardless of what you do, you know, I go speak at a clinic and I talk about this coverage, that front, this blitz. I want to make sure what I'm saying is showing up on film. I don't care. You know, the simplest of minds could watch it and say, hey, you know what he's saying is showing up on film. And then there's the other style where guys want to be innovators, and they want to try to show you how smart they are and how many different things that they can do and how multiple they can do. And I think that's tough in this day and age in college football with all the no huddle and the fast tempo. So to start, we're going to keep things simple. So our guys are going to know exactly our package and our defensive calls inside out. That's where it all starts. As long as they got a good understanding mentally of what you're asking them to do. And then the other part of it is when you talk about the film room without the coaches there, you have to teach them what to watch. And I'm telling you, we're going all the way back to, you know, the John Wooden about to putting on socks and tying shoes. We're teaching them how to turn on the computer the right way, you know, what the buttons on the remote control mean, you know, and how to watch film the right way, what to look for. But it starts with them having a thorough understanding of our package, how offenses are going to attack us, how we're going to align to all the formations, teaching them what their keys are. And then when it gets to the film room, teach them, hey, we're big into cut-ups. We don't watch a lot of game film. We watch cut-ups. So we can really study formations, backfield sets, and wide receiver alignments and what they tell us, what, you know, offensive lineman stances, what they're telling us. And those are the things that we try to teach our kids.
Yeah, Coach, Chris, go ahead, Trey.
I've got one question. The players being receptive to you guys coming in. I know when we talked back in January when we had you on, you were like, well, in the spring, I want to build the relationship with the players. So when I tell them to do something, they understand that I'm not telling them just to do that, just to be telling them something. Mm-hmm. Talk about the relationship that you have been able to build with these players.
Well, I think there are a lot of different types of relationships, but we wanted to build a relationship built on trust. And to do that, it takes time. And it also takes us being able to show them that, you know, what we're telling them is going to get them better. And when you do that and they actually see the improvement through the course of spring, I think that helps the relationship a lot more. And I think that the relationships that we've built have been very strong with these players. You know, they come into the office constantly right now. When we first got here, they stayed away from the office. They enjoy coming to the complex. They enjoy being coached because they've been getting better. And as long as we can stay on that path, then I think we're headed in the right direction. But I like where we're at right now with the guys.
Before we run out of time with you, I want to ask you one more question, and then we're going to have Charlie Partridge here on the other side of the break. Well, two questions. One, to build the defense that you want at Arkansas, what do you need?
A great D-line coach. Now, you know, everything begins and ends up front, to be honest with you. And the stronger we are up front, the better off that we're going to be. And it starts with recruiting the right type of guys that fit our system. You know, a lot of guys talk about it, well, this guy looks good, that guy looks good, but does he fit what we do? And we want guys that fit what we do. And for us to be good on defense, we really got to be good right down the middle. Our defensive tackles, our Mike linebacker, and our safeties have to be the heart of our defense. And if we're good right down the middle, we have a chance to be successful.
Any scoop that we can use on him? I know he's sitting right here, so he's listening
to
everything.
I'm not going to blow him up on the radio. I do that enough, and I'm sure he'll get me when I get off.
Chris, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Good to see you down in Central
Arkansas.
Yeah,
you too. You too. Thanks for having me on.
That's Chris Ash, defensive coordinator of the Arkansas Razorbacks. And yes, Matt, Charlie Partridge has been sitting here tweeting away, maybe texting a couple of maybe his wife or something.
Probably, I think it's his wife.
Yeah, now that they're fully back in Arkansas, and I guess you're moved in and everything.
I moved in. Coach Partridge's wife just arrived here last week, and their stuff just got here the other day, so he's getting moved in.
He's getting to unpack some boxes, too.
Yeah, well, he's out here enjoying the golf course right now, and his wife's probably not very happy.